So David, we're talking about today, he's a biblical hero. David is huge in the books of the Bible. As we read the Kingdoms Immersed Bible, we find out that David is listed throughout the pages now as we read ahead. He is the one that God has put on the throne of the kingdom of Israel. He's the one that God says he'll establish this throne forever, for an eternal kingdom. This is a biblical hero who is a model to us. Even in the New Testament, he's upheld as, this is the guy that you ought to model your walk with the Lord after. David's a hero. Partly because of his incredible feats that he did in battles for the Lord. And the whole time he did this by trusting wholeheartedly in God. Everything, he just believed, he trusted that God was going to do what God said he was going to do, not by David's power, but by God's own power. And God describes David like this. I mean, if you wanted to be described by God, this would be the way that you would want it. He's described as a man after God's own heart. Wow, right? A person who deeply desires and loves God, and God loves that. You know, David is special to God. There's no doubt in the Bible. So David has this incredible, humble heart, and he knew that if he humbled himself before the Lord, that the Lord was going to lift him up. That if he would just turn to God, if he would just continue to trust him, the Lord would do amazing things in his life. And he did. You know, there's a phrase coined by the Apostle James later on in the New Testament. He says this, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You know, that's David's life. So David's experience is that God lifts up the humble. He favors those who trust in God. You know, we kind of talked about that last week, didn't we? It was one of those rules that we put in our hearts. So we don't have to go to a theater to watch a superhero because we have a superhero right in the Bible, a superhuman hero, and his name is who? David. Yeah, David. So David's this amazing superhero. And as we get into more of David's story this week, as you read along in the Kingdoms Bible, as we begin this week, something begins to change for David. Something changes slowly, it's subtly, but we pick it up as we go along. Something is happening to David's persona of himself, how he views himself. So David gets this hero identity. He begins to see himself, the way we do. He begins to see himself as the hero, and with good reason, right? Remember last week we talked, if you were here, we got to talk about David and Goliath and this young boy, shepherd boy, who fights this gigantic giant. And remember last week I stood up here and I raised my hand and I said, he's about this high? Well, I was wrong. So Cheryl climbed up here and put up a piece of tape, and that's how tall Goliath was. That's pretty big, isn't he? And so now if I think about fighting Goliath, that's a little scary. But David had such courage that he didn't even hesitate. He went after Goliath with just a few things that he had in his pocket. Do you remember what those were? Kids, you remember? Some rocks, right? How many rocks? 5 rocks in a sling. He went after David, and what happened to Goliath? Boom, he fell, didn't he? He was down because God helped him do that. But and then David got King Saul's kingdom. God, it was all handed over to David. He defeats his enemies on every border. There's nobody that can come up against the armies of David. He's powerful. And sons and daughters are born to him. There's just blessing all over the place. David is Israel's hero, no doubt. And David becomes a hero to David. You and I have this subtle tendency to develop our own hero identities. If you're on social media, we quickly realize that we begin to create our own personas of who we think we are or would like to be. you know, or I like to call it my hero identity. So there's a quote by Erin Vogel. She's a PhD in psychiatry at the University of California. She says this: crafting a persona that's filled with only positive information, like an embellished Instagram profile or an exaggerated Snapchat story, will create a positive self-acceptance that's very stabilizing and soothing. You know, ooh, I like that. That's a nice picture of myself. I think I'll put that in on the story. Probably nothing wrong with that. So what we end up showing the world, she says, is the version of ourselves we actually like, rather than the full picture of who we are. And I think, oh, I'm so glad that I don't get caught up in things like that, right? And then I recently reactivated my Facebook account because I needed to get on some content for the Evangelical Covenant Church, and up pops my profile picture, and I thought, wow, that looks pretty good. And then Cheryl told me, you've got to update your profile. I do not know why you're all laughing. You know, and in Snapchat photos that we send with our family, you know, we're always sending these pictures. It's pretty great. But, you know, early in the morning before my first cup of coffee, I'm usually sending a Snapchat that is something outside, not, you know, facing me. It's not a selfie. And so I like to put up my, present my best self. I think you cropped these, Cheryl. So on the one that where we're standing outside, actually, my best self is in that picture because it is with me and my arm around Cheryl. So Cheryl makes me my best self. Thank you, Cheryl. So in 2 Samuel, David began to believe this hero identity that he had created of himself. And it quickly got him into trouble. And we read that in the Kingdom's Bible that you'll be getting into this week. It says, in the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Something is beginning to take place. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. What is that? I see. So David decides to go and send some men over to find out who this woman is. And then he invites her, brings her over to the palace, and David sleeps with her. He finds out that she is Uriah's wife. Bathsheba is her name. She's a beautiful woman. And Uriah is a foot soldier in the army of David, a faithful, loyal person to David and to Israel. The story goes on that after David slept with her, she went home, and shortly after, David gets a note back that says, Bathsheba is pregnant. So this is the beginning of a royal scandal. But I want to ask you this question. When did David's hero identity become a liability to him? Was it when he slept with Bathsheba? I mean, that was a problem. I don't think that was the beginning. How about when he brought her over? Well, that was part of the story, but I don't think that's where it started. How about when he looked across the roof at her bathing? That was the temptation that probably got him into trouble, but I don't think that's where it started. You know where it really began, I think? When his hero identity became a liability. When he didn't go do what kings are supposed to do in the spring of the year when they go off to war. David began to think, hey, I'm above that now. I can just send my army out, my commanders out to take care of all that. I'll just stay back a while. I'll just hang around. David didn't do what kings are supposed to do. The hero identity became his liability when he decided that he'd become too big for the role that God had given him. David becomes so deceived in his hero status that he actually defends it in a cover-up. So David finds out that Bathsheba is with child, and so he sends for her husband Uriah on the front lines. He has Joab, the commander of the army, send Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, back to the palace. And David meets him and greets him and asks questions about the battle and then sends him home to be with his wife. Now, why would he do that? Well, I'm sure in the back of his mind he's thinking this. Well, if Uriah goes home and sleeps with his wife and then finds out that she's pregnant, he'll have no idea that this is David's child. Everything will be buttoned up nice and neat and clean. But Uriah doesn't go home. Uriah is a man of honor. He believes that it's not right for him to go home and be with his wife while all of Israel, the army, is out in the battlefield. You know, he's a noble man, and he's just not going to do that. And so he sleeps outside the palace, and the next day, David finds out, he invites him back in. And he gets Uriah drunk, and he thinks, this time I'm going to send Uriah home. He's drunk, you know, it's going to be a fun time in Uriah's house. But Uriah doesn't go home. He stays again. And so the next day, David drafts a letter, seals it up, puts his royal seal on there, and hands it back to Uriah. Uriah has no idea that in this letter is his orders for his death. The orders go to Joab. It says in the letter, to put Uriah on the front lines in a place where he knows that Uriah will be killed in battle. I'm sure David's thinking in his mind, you know, Uriah, this is your own fault, right? I gave you two options for you to go home and do the right thing, to sleep with your wife, but you didn't do it. So my hands are clean. This is on you. You didn't do what you were supposed to do, and now it's going to cost you your life. And that's what happens. Uriah goes into battle. Joab puts him in the front. He's killed in the line of duty. And the message comes back to David. Uriah has been killed in battle. And so to David now, at this point, he's thinking, all right, this is good. I mean, my heart grieves for Uriah, but again, this is all buttoned up. This is neat and clean. Nobody will know. And he takes Bathsheba home to be his wife. David's hero identity has become his fallen hero identity. And Nathan the prophet, he knows it all. God has revealed to Nathan what's going on, and he comes to David to expose the truth. Man, we live in a reality today where this is what goes on, isn't it? It seems like every week, somebody, something about somebody is being revealed. Some moral failure is being displayed on the media. It's all around it. It's everywhere. There's another fallen hero's failures revealed. Right now, I'm going to ask you a hard question. And I want you to be truthfully honest with yourselves. So fifth and sixth graders, if you're here today, I want you to actually to look up here. Look to me. Look in my eyes. And junior and senior high students, look up here. Adults, I really do want your attention here. And this is between you and God. But this is serious. What are you hiding? What's going on inside here that you're covering up? What's happening that is causing you to turn away from what you know is where you ought to be? More importantly, what's that public image you're trying to present when you know that inside, it's not who you are at all? Do you live with that terror every day that at some point that Nathan's going to show up in your life and is going to say, you are that person? Do you live in that dread that you're the fallen one? This is your reality, and somebody's going to find out. You know, for some of you here today, that very question could likely make the pit of your stomach turn. You may not do it out loud, but your heart goes, oh, that's me. He knows. You know, if it is, trust me, this is the work of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this isn't about me, and I'm not here to judge you, but this is about God bringing you to this realization, to this place where you recognize there's something wrong. I believed a lie. I'm not a hero. Far from it. It's raw, it's real. And I know it very well. I know that experience. I know that feeling. And one of those times was over 20 years ago. You may have heard me tell this, but it's like it happened yesterday. I was sitting in a conference. I was enjoying worship. I sensed the presence of God, maybe like we do in our worship services. And I experienced that pit of my stomach gasp. Came out of nowhere. The Holy Spirit all of a sudden showed up and brought me face to face with my fallen hero reality. You know, I knew right then and there in my gut that I couldn't go any further, that I couldn't do anything more. We were singing a song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. And when I heard those words, pure and holy, it was like, you know, my soul dropped. It's not me. I'm not that. I'm not pure. I'm not holy. I'm bad. I'm evil. And I knew that there was only really two options. At that point in the conference, I thought, first option, stand up, walk out, never come back, never turn around, just keep going. And I have to tell you, that is what I wanted to do. I really did, but it was crowded and I couldn't get out that easy. But I knew I couldn't go on any longer. I knew I couldn't move any further with this. I was confronted, and I knew I needed to do something. I knew I needed to come before God, but I honestly tell you, I didn't know how. I didn't know how I would do it, but I needed to right there. The Holy Spirit was confronting me, just like Nathan the prophet, standing in front of me, loud and clear, saying, Tim, you are that man. I know it. You know it, and you can't hide anymore. Are you that person today? Are you desperately trying to protect this persona that you are that follower of Jesus? You've got it all together. You don't really have those issues and problems in your life, and when in reality you have fallen, and you have fallen hard. If you are, I plead with you, I want to encourage you now just to call out for mercy. Call out to God. Let God deal with you right here, right now. Because if you don't, if you and I aren't willing to do that, we're going to go down this road of self-deception, just like David. And what we're defending right now is just going to get worse. It's going to get harder, and it's going to get us into deeper trouble until it does become an evil that only a real Nathan can stand before you and point out, and you won't be able to hide. So if you have your attention today, if you feel like your stomach's down here, and you're feeling like the ushers ought to open the doors, then I want to invite you to come stand before God. just to call out to the Lord, to ask for forgiveness. It's called repentance. It's called turning back to the Lord. Don't wait another moment. Don't try to hide it and put an image forward that's not you. Bring it to God. Allow him to do his work in you. Allow him to reveal that you are loved, you are cared for, and you can be forgiven. There's life beyond this. So let's bow our heads. Let's call out to God in confession. And in this particular situation that I was in, I grabbed the person closest to me, because I just had to speak out what was on my heart. And that happened to be Cheryl, my wife, and I grabbed her hand and I confessed things. And in the midst of that, I sobbed and cried, kind of like a baby. Not saying that you do that today, that you have to do that today. But if you are, then understand this. You are amongst people who love you and care. This is God's work. Nobody's here to judge you. But bring your confession to God now. This is the holy moment. This is the time. Tell the Lord what you need to confess. If you need to say it out loud, go for it. If not, say it quietly in your heart. It's between you and God. Whatever the Holy Spirit has brought before you, wherever you have desperately worked to cover up, let God take it away. Confess it. Whatever that dread deep in your soul is right now, tell it to God. Ask for mercy. Whatever's overwhelming you and burdening you, whatever you're carrying, tell Jesus your sin. Ask for forgiveness. I'm going to pray right now. Follow through if you'd like. Lord, we are not the heroes that we make ourselves out to be. We are not without sin. In fact, Lord, we are far from it. And Lord, we face this reality right now that we can't go any further with you, because you have put this block in front of us. You have placed this Nathan before us that says, stop. You have to deal with this. I want you to come with me. I want you to walk with me, the Lord says, but you cannot unless you deal with this. And so we bring it to God and say, Lord, here it is. Forgive me. Lord, here it is. This is my sin. This is my reality. Forgive me. Lord, wash me, cleanse me, set me free. Lord, I don't want to carry this burden any longer. Lord, I don't want to walk with this fear in my soul that somebody's going to find out. Lord, that you're going to find out. Lord, you already know. Forgive me. Just like David cried out, Lord, I have sinned against you. Tell the Lord, I have sinned against you, God. Forgive me. Have mercy. I'm sorry. Take it away. Heal me. And here's the good news. If you have confessed, you are forgiven. If you have come before the Lord and released your burden, you are set free. You can know that freedom. You can know that joy. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Do you hear that? You're forgiven. You're forgiven. It's okay. Now, God has taken it away. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Now commit to turn away from that sin, to be done with it for good. You're on a new path now. You're on a new beginning. You are beginning a new life today. You're living a new reality from this day forward. You're no longer carrying that burden. You are set free. Your load has been lightened. You are a new person. You're no longer hiding in the dark. In fact, you are now standing in the light, unashamed, because you are washed of your sin. The Lord has forgiven you. You have received mercy from this day forward. You're a beacon of light in the world. You shine out bright. You're redeemed and filled with the love of Jesus that you cannot withhold. You're pure. You're holy. You are given the Lord. The Lord has given you his love and grace. Is that a good thing? Is that an amen? You can give a shout to the Lord. You're redeemed. You are righteous before God. The word of God tells us that. You're the light of the world and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus died for that sin that you and I are afraid to confess. But when we do, we realize it is taken away. We're cleansed. We're God's child. We are part of the family of God. You are the body of Christ. You are precious in his sight. You can shout to the Lord. You can sing with all your heart. You can let that flow because the Lord knows you are set free. You are his. He has cast off your burdens. You are forgiven forever. He embraces you. He receives you. He anoints you. He blesses you. You are alive in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. Is that worth a hallelujah? That's worth an amen, isn't it? Praise God, we are set free. And I'm going to ask the praise team to come up if they would, and we're just going to sing again that song that we learned today. And I just want to say this today. If you didn't come under conviction in the last 10 minutes or so, if you didn't feel that burden in your heart and that heaviness in your soul, then do this, really. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Because it is by God's grace that we can walk in his love and mercy. It is by God's glory that we can say we are redeemed. But if you did, if you felt that, and yet you didn't bring it to the Lord and didn't confess it, I just want to tell you this. With all my heart, I want to tell you this from love, that don't go any further with it. Don't leave here today without confessing it to God. In fact, as we're singing today, if that's still on your heart, just bring it to the Lord. If you want to come up and kneel up here and do that, you can do that. Whatever it is that you need to do, do it. Get right with the Lord.